oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Why don't we sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Am I on? I'm there. Okay. That's a dangerous thing about these little packs, because I learned a couple of weeks ago that there's a difference between green and yellow. Well, I'm kind of colorblind in the area of green-brown, so sometimes I can't see that, and then at other times, this thing starts falling off my head and ends up in strange locations down in my neck, you know. And sometimes it sneaks down my shirt, does all kinds of strange things. Like right now, it's supposed to hug me really closely. I have never been able to get this thing to be where it should be. So if you can't hear me, raise your hand, go like this or something, and I'll try to pay attention. But I appreciate your patience. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Now, how many of you have known that song for a long time? Do we still sing that in like Awana or Sunday school or in our... We don't? Oh, there's something desperately wrong. I have to tell you that there are a lot of songs like that that I still find myself singing from time to time, and they really move me and minister to me and get me through some tough times. And I just learned them in Sunday school. We had what was called opening exercises. I doubt that we have anything like that anymore. Maybe we should, but that's when all the Sunday school people came together from like kindergarten or pre-kindergarten, whenever Sunday school started, all the way up through high school, actually. We all met together, we sang a couple of songs. Sometimes we'd play a Bible drill game or do something. It was all very quick, 5, maybe 10 minutes at most. You remember that, don't you, Kathy? And I learned some great songs, and it just kind of drew us together. It was a great time that I have great memories of, and it was an important time. So maybe I'm out of step with the way things are in the world. It has nothing to do with Facebook. But it has everything to do with what you carry in your heart. And those songs that you carry just pop up at the weirdest times. And the Lord actually brings them to mind and brings them to your heart and gives you strength. I trust that we give our kids opportunity to learn those songs. For us, it was in Sunday school. I suspect Awana should be the time. Karen, where are you? Oh, she's probably counting. Okay, never mind. But Karen, who's in charge of our WANA program. Boy, we need these songs. Kids need to learn them. And that's just so important. And I remember Bible drills. That's something else I don't see very much anymore. Because we kind of, you know, tell you the honest truth, when I read Scripture, probably 90% of my time of reading Scripture is on a computer screen because I have more material that I can get instantly. I don't have to spend hours trying to look something up. All I have to do is just type a word or two, and boom, it's right there from 3 different resources and all. I mean, I have more material than I've ever had in my life, and it's right there right now. But there's something very special about just being able to take the Word of God and opening it and reading what God has to say. And I think that we're kind of losing that skill in a day of social media, the way things are today. I don't think it's just because I'm old and decrepit and, you know, look at things back there. I think there's something very valuable about being able to open God's Word to where you want. For instance, this morning, if I were to say, who can be the first to turn to Leviticus chapter 6? Go! Oh, but you had it there beforehand. He cheated. Oh, well, you win. Okay. He gets the first cup of cheeseburger soup after the meeting today. But we took those things very seriously, and when we were able to look up the verse, we just jumped almost out of our seats because we were the first, raising our hands and going like this because we had it. Those are good times, but I think it really focused us on something very important, and that is knowing how to read God's Word, and that in here, there's something very valuable that probably will matter more than anything else you can carry with you in terms of helping you to understand life, understand people, understand the heart of God. How many here understand the heart of God? Anybody? Okay, there are some things, you know, I think I know. But boy, there's a lot that I learn every day. And quite frankly, I see the heart of God in many of you. And that's an important thing for me. But reading the Word of God, listening to His voice. But if you turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6, we'll take a few minutes and look at that this morning. Can we start with a word of prayer? Father, I just sense that you yearn to come and speak to us this morning, because we speak of the fire of your Spirit and of your presence and of opening our hearts and our lives and ourselves and everything that matters to us, opening it to you. Help us hear. Help us see your hand at work. Help us, Lord, to listen to you and to understand your word. Father, we just commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I mean, the one nice thing about Leviticus, in terms of finding it, is it's way to the left. That's how you find out where the things in the Bible are. You know, Psalms is in the center. So everything is to the left and to the right of Psalms. Isn't that the way you... I think that's the technical way that you find verses of Scripture. Is it to the left or to the right of Psalms? And Leviticus is actually way to the left because it's one of the first five books of the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. They were called the books of Moses, the book of the law. They were very important in Jewish life for millennia, because they spoke to the Jews how to organize their lives, how they could live and walk in a way that pleased God, how they can piece together their worship, their temple. The most important stuff about life was to be found here in the books of the law, the books of Moses. Now, I know, and I have to admit, that when I open my Bible to go to a place for devotions, I'm almost first either in Psalms. I tend to gravitate to the Psalms. I have to admit that. I have a prejudice. I love the Psalms, I think, more than anything. But as soon as I get past the Psalms, it's Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his books in the New Testament. I'm a Pauline lover. Seminary kind of drew me a little bit toward the Gospels, the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because it taught me how to find the heart of God there. But I think if we were to take a poll for the least read of all the Bible books among us, I think Leviticus would stand a good chance of probably being number one in that list of the least read. I have yet to be able to find, you know, to turn to Leviticus and really be hit hard by it. This is a very unusual passage for me because God spoke to me from Leviticus. And but I have to admit that I probably spend less time in Leviticus than any other book in all of the Bible. It's one of the books of Moses. It taught the people how to live. Leviticus really looks at the law, how the people of God could walk and live each day so that they please God. Unfortunately, over time, they took it and they really blew it. They made it say things that God never meant it to say. And one of my favorite examples of that, I remember listening, I think it was at a Founders Day. I know that dates me too, way back at Bethel a long time ago. But one of the speakers was talking about Leviticus and how the priests had found ways to get around almost everything in there so that they could follow the law and yet it wouldn't disturb their day too much. One of the pieces in Leviticus was that on the Sabbath they were not supposed to travel a certain amount, you know, distance from their home. They could only take a certain number of steps away from their home territory, which would be their yard. In order to get past that, they said the priests would often take a bag of dirt from their backyard and carry it with them so that they could go where they wanted, because all they had to do is reach into the bag, sprinkle a little bit of dirt in front of them, then walk on it. Then they were following the law because they were still close enough to their home dirt. And actually, they could go anywhere they wanted and still be following the law. I mean, it was silly, but that's the way they took this kind of thing. And Leviticus was never meant to be that. Leviticus was meant to expose the heart of God and help people understand who he was and what he wanted for his life. So, I mean, for our lives. So it goes into great detail on things like how do we make an offering? How do you conduct worship? How do you live your personal life? And how do you form and shape your society and the laws of your culture in a way that please God? It goes into great detail about what is acceptable and what isn't, down to the kinds of clothes you wear, the food that you eat, and how you deal with a lot of different health issues, which were very different then than they are now. We deal with different kinds of things. Today, when people want to discredit Christianity or really to discredit Scripture, they'll often quote from Leviticus using one of those obscure verses that deal with treating skin rashes or something like that. And they say, look at what a silly book this is. The truth is that there are rules in Leviticus that we no longer need to follow. For example, we don't make burnt offerings today or sacrifices. We can actually eat shrimp and God won't destroy us on the spot. Thank goodness. And here's a big one. It's okay to blend cotton and wool. And we can wear it and survive. Now, there were a lot of these restrictions that were necessary in the Old Covenant. They were part of the process that God used to reveal himself to his people. But they really don't make much sense today. But as we read about sacrifices and offerings, God can still speak to us through what these things symbolize and can help us be more devoted to God today. I think that we can use what is said in Leviticus to point us to some very important things. A good example can be found in our passage for today. God is speaking to Moses about how to administer the various types of offerings. There were guilt offerings, grain offerings, sin offerings. And I just want you to listen for a moment to what he said to Moses about the burnt offering. And that's in the sixth chapter of Leviticus, verses 12 and 13. We never had to memorize this in Sunday school. It wasn't one of the biggies, you know, like John 3:16 or something. But these words, here's what it says. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Now, when I read these verses earlier this week, I really began to think about how important it is to keep that fire burning in our hearts. You know, the greatest tragedy that I see in the Christian life is that I know so many people who years ago were fueled by the fire of the Holy Spirit. They were fueled by the fire of love for the lost, fueled by the fire of vision, fueled by the fire of purpose. And when I see them today, they have no fire at all. At least, no spiritual fire. Their lives have become comfortable. And I don't mean that in the good sense of the word. Their lives have become mundane. You know, what used to be a life that was filled with passion for the things of God have become average. It's become more about going through the motions than turning the world upside down. I remember hearing a preacher ask this question a few years ago. He said this, "When was your best day with Jesus? In all of your life, when have you drawn closer to Jesus?" And then he said this, "If it wasn't this week, do something about it." What was he saying? He was saying, don't let the fire go out. Keep the fire of your relationship with Christ burning in your life every single day of your life. Now, this has really been a lifelong goal for me, to be just as enthusiastic about serving Christ and knowing Christ and living for Christ as I have ever been. I want the fire to keep burning with increasing intensity as I get to know Jesus better. You know, the picture for that was my grandpa, Bergfalk, in Duluth. Old guy. Small. He was strong as an ox because he'd worked as a street sweeper, a cleaner all his life. After the farm fell apart, he worked for the street department in Duluth. But he had a heart for God that I have not been able to see in anybody else, but that I long to have for myself. And he always longed to serve God. But I always have this picture when I think of my life before God of him at North Shore Baptist Church in Duluth. It's up on the north, along the North Shore, up this 61 along Duluth, right on the north edge, before you go on to the highway that goes up the North Shore of Lake Superior. And I could see him out at this, in this hole that they were using to build a new church building. And he would be out there himself. Now, understand, now he was old. I mean, he was in his 70s at this time. And barely able to walk. But I could see him there taking a brick one at a time and carrying it across, carefully setting it in place and fixing the cement so that it became the foundation for that church. Nobody else was there. But he was there. Grandpa, you remember Grandpa Bergfalk? Kathy, yes, you know. You know who I'm talking about. And whenever I think about my commitment to the Lord, I think about Grandpa Bergfalk. Paul Bergfalk. I'm named after him. I want my heart to be like Grandpa Bergfalk's. That's a goal of mine. I'm a long ways from it. I have a long ways to go. I understand that. But I want to be that guy that's out in the hole when I can barely walk, carrying that brick, because I'm building a foundation for the work of God. That church was built into a whole facility. But I think he laid about 90% of the foundation himself, barely able to walk, barely able to move, but he would get himself out there and do it. As I looked at these verses in Leviticus earlier this week, Grandpa Bergfalk came to mind. And some of the symbolism of these words spoke to me. And so today I want to share some thoughts as we look at how can we keep that fire for God burning in our lives. And there are three things that God said to Moses that speak to us today. Here's the first thing I want you to see. If you want to keep the fire burning in your heart, stoke the fire first thing in the morning. I mean, when you're getting up and stumbling out of bed and can hardly walk, first thing on your brain, stoke the fire. Notice the first phrase that God spoke to Moses in verse 12. Every morning the priest is to add firewood. Every morning, he says. Every morning you refuel the fire. It's the first thing you do every day. You take care of the fire. And that's because morning is the most important time of the day. It sets the tone for the rest of the day. And here's one thing I've noticed. What I focus on in the morning tends to reflect my priorities, and it tends to determine my priorities for the rest of the day. Have you ever noticed that? When I wake up in the morning, if all I can think about is my schedule or what's happening in the NFL or what am I going to eat or is it time for Sports Center yet, that tells me where my priorities are, and it tells me I need to make a strategic shift. If I begin my day thinking about material things, it tends to set my direction for the rest of the day. If I wake up wanting anything other than fellowship with God, then I realize that I need to add some fuel to the fire right now because I'm in trouble. As soon as I'm awake enough to think semi-coherently, I try to open the Word and spend some time alone with God. I have a routine that I've developed over the years that has worked for me. When I'm able to be alone, okay, I spend time initially in praise. I want to simply say, God, I love you, and I worship you. And then I read a few verses of Scripture. I'm not one of these people that can read all of Leviticus in the morning, okay? But I can read part of a psalm or a few verses. I pray a short, simple prayer, committing my day to God, but the important thing is that I do it first before anything. I have found that the thing that I do first sets the tone for the day. Now, my goal is not to juice up my emotions, because that rarely happens in the morning. The goal is rather to redirect my attitude so that I'm focused on God and His presence in my life and in His will for my life. I'm thinking in those terms. And I have found that the earlier in the morning that I'm able to do that, the more He directs my day, the closer that I actually walk. It's a real simple thing. Okay? First thing, direct your heart to God, and your whole day will be moved in that direction. Over the years, I've known more people than I care to count who have really drifted away from the Christian life. People that I would have thought were hotter than me. I mean, I can tell you stories of people I knew that I just knew were more Christian than I was. who were more committed than I was, that were more grounded in the Word than I was. And I've often wondered what happened to them because they've wandered away from the Lord. You know? Why did they drift away? And why is it that I'm still walking with the Lord after all these years? And I think the answer has to do with this specific spiritual practice. It's always been my habit to begin the day with God. No matter what yesterday was like, I begin each new day with God. Now, I've made my share of mistakes over the years. I'm not nearly as holy as I want to be or as I ought to be. But the simple truth is that you can't drift too far in a day. And if you begin each day by coming up to God and begin your day walking with Him, you'll never fall far away. Do you catch that? What you do first thing is going to determine your day, your direction, your priority. And if you begin each day, and I'm not talking about some elaborate religious ritual, just something very simple to say, God, here I am, here's my life, I want to walk with you today. I was reading an article recently about marriage that talked about the three most important times of the day for married couples. And this article said that the most important time of the day for a couple is the first thing in the morning. It said that the way you interact with your spouse between the time you wake up and the time you leave for work sets the tone for your relationship for the rest of that day. Now that makes sense. It also applies to how you relate to your children. And one thing I appreciated about my mom is that she always made it a point to connect with me first thing in the morning, usually trying to drag me out of bed. But she worked hard at connecting with me. And if she had something that she had to correct me for, if she had to gripe at me, she made it a point not to gripe at me before I went to school. Now, I don't know how she did it. She should have been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for her effort. But she didn't want me, I'm really convinced, she didn't want me to start my school day with a negative state of mind. She was always a peacemaker. She didn't want me to, you know, that state of mind that comes from being yelled at. And even when I deserved it, she never did. I was always able to start my day with a positive state of mind. Not that I ever did anything that should get her upset. But, you know, she had that gift. And as it turned out, it was a good strategy for her. When she needed to get something through to me, she found it was much more fruitful for her to talk to me when I didn't have a good excuse to get away than when I had some time. That way, she could offer her constructive criticism without a time constraint. Now, this makes sense as well. The fire that you want to keep burning, your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, make sure you fuel those fires first thing in the morning. What really matters to you most, make the effort to move toward those first thing in the morning. That's why I suggest that you begin every day with a word of praise. You know, you've got tons of problems to worry about, and you can give your attention to them, but wait until later on. That first part of the moment, 2 minutes, okay? 30 seconds, I don't care what it is. Turn your heart to God and say, God, I give today to you. Second thing I want you to see, to keep the fire burning, not only fuel the fire first thing in the morning, but secondly, use the fire of praise to organize your life. Listen to the second phrase God spoke to Moses. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire. Now, I don't think any of us has ever been involved with a burnt offering. But we've seen a backyard cookout. Just take a moment and think of how you do it. Once you get the fire going, you continuously arrange the burger and hot dogs on the grill so that they get the right amount of heat in order to cook evenly. You know, because a grill has hot spots and cooler spots, and you don't want things to get burned. So you tend to kind of rearrange things on the fire. So this burger is done, so you can move it to the back of the grill, move this other burger forward so that it gets the fire it needs. It's a pretty simple process. And actually, it's something guys can figure out. That's why we're the ones always in charge of cooking outdoors. You ever notice that? When it's something on the grill, the guys tend to do it. The symbolism that I see in these words spoken to Moses is that we need to arrange each area of our lives as well so that our lives are a full, balanced, living sacrifice to God. So what do we offer to God? One type of offering we make to God is through praise. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Did you know that God is actually pleased when you praise him? And there's a crucial distinction to make. You don't praise God with your feelings. You praise God with your words. You praise him with your attitude. Even when your feelings aren't where you want them to be, you can still say, God, I may not feel all bubbly inside right now, but I'm going to praise you with my words, and I'm going to praise you with my attitude because you alone are worthy of my praise. Another way we make an offering to God is through service. Whatever God's will for your life may be, you can be sure that it involves helping people. When you help people, when you serve people, God is pleased. It should be the goal of every Christian to have an area of ministry, a place where you can serve. A Christian should always ask, what is it that God is calling me to do at Oak Hill? Not, oh, does God want me to serve him at Oak Hill? What is my place of service? What is God calling me to? Also, every Christian should be on the lookout for those spontaneous opportunities to serve. You remember the Good Samaritan? That's a good example of that. He was traveling from one place to another. He came across someone who needed his help, and he responded. And as you make your way through your journey, you'll also encounter those who need your help. God puts them there. Responding to their need is your way of making a sacrificial offering to God. Another way that we make an offering to God, obviously, is through financial giving. When you give to his work, when you give to his people, you're giving to him. And he's pleased. I encourage you to arrange the offerings of your life so that it's balanced and organized, and for lack of a better term, well done. Look at each of these three areas, your devotional life, your service to others, your giving, and make sure you're doing what needs to be done in each of these areas. And this will keep the fire burning in your life. Third thing, fuel the fire first thing in the morning. You arrange each day according to the fire, and then finally, feed the flame with the fat of fellowship. Verse 12, every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of fellowship offerings on it. Now, just for a moment, think of the backyard grill again. What happens when the fat of the meat starts dripping on the fire? The flame comes up, right? In the very same way, fellowship feeds the flame of your spiritual life. We weren't made to be hermits. We were made to be a community. We were made to live together in relationship with one another. When you fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you fan the flame of your faith, of your love for God, of your service to him. That's why sometimes it's a great idea for believers to get together, not necessarily for worship or for for a worship service or a work project or something formal, but just for the pleasure of being together. You know? Simply for the pleasure of uplifting conversation, encouraging one another, laughing together, crying together, just experiencing one another. For many of you, the only time I get to see you is on Sunday morning. I need that time. I need to see you. I need to talk with you. I need to be lifted up that way because you matter to me, and your presence in my to me brings me life. I mean that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for feeding me. I need that more than I can really express to you. Like this, like all things, you know, really should be a balanced part of our lives because we get things from fellowship with other believers that we just can't get anywhere else. There's something real and life-giving about giving you a hug. Sorry, it's just the way it is. That gives me life. That gives me joy. I'm sorry, I can't live without it. Here's the caveat. Sometimes what Christians call fellowship isn't really fellowship. Sometimes it's a gossip about who isn't here session or a gripe about the church session. I'll tell you right now, this isn't pleasing to God. The kind of fellowship we need to strive for is where the conversation is uplifting and where everyone leaves feeling strengthened and comforted and encouraged. John said in John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is the kind of fellowship we need to strive for. Fellowship that is illuminated by the light of Christ. Here I might get in trouble. That's all right. Been in trouble before. I honestly believe that if you don't have a burning desire in your heart to be with God's people, you better look at your relationship with God. If being with other people of God doesn't feed you and bring you life, if it isn't something that you genuinely desire and have a passion for, then there's something wrong with your relationship with God. I don't know what it is. But it's a good sign there's something wrong. If you're perfectly happy not going to church for months at a time, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. Maybe it's not there. I don't know. But look and see, what is it in my life that I genuinely cannot live without? And being with God's people reflects your need to be with God. If you want to keep the fire burning, make sure that you feed the flame with the fat of fellowship. Spend time with those believers who support you in your Christian walk, with those believers who just give you a hug and say, I like you. You know? I'm glad I can be here with you. That matters. I need it. Okay? Some of you are here today are saying, you know, I need this. The fire in my life is barely flickering and barely alive. And others might say, my fire is completely gone. It died a couple of years ago. I need a new fire. But here's the good news. It only takes a spark to get the fire going. Have you heard that song? God desires to fire that flame in you. And if you find that that fire is gone, he wants to reignite that flame in your life and give you desire for his presence and his life in you. Are you prepared to keep the fire burning? Do you want to go through the process? Make sure it's done every single day. First thing in the morning. You make it a daily priority to spend time in His presence. Spend time helping others. Spend time with His people. And when you do this, your life will burn with a passion for God that can never be extinguished. God is ready to bring that life to you. Do you have a hunger for it? If you're here this morning and you find that that fire has somehow drifted off, you can reignite that flame today. You can say to God, God, I need You. I need Your life. I need You to be present in every single day of my life. And He'll bring that life to you. He'll ignite that fire. Keep feeding it every day, and you'll find the flame grows. It's like any other fire. If you just set a fire and let it go, come back a week later, what do you find? Nothing. Cold coals. But when God ignites that flame in you and you feed that fire every day, and you make take every that there's a passion in you to feed that flame daily, you'll find that the life of God will grow in you and become so essential to your daily walk that you can't live a day without experiencing that flame, the presence of God. And I can guarantee you, if you do that, you'll never wander far from God. You'll always be walking close to Him. And you'll know what it means to be aflame with the Spirit of God. Are you ready for that? Does that matter to you? God is ready to ignite that flame right now. Can I ask you to stand? I know Jim's going to lead you in a song in just a moment here, but I want to pray. Father, I just lift up each one of these people here. I pray that You would come to each one of them and ignite in them the flame of passion for You. Burn within them, Lord, with a desire for Your presence so that they might walk with You more faithfully every day and find the joy, the wonder of living every single day walking with You. Lord, what a joy that is. And for those who are here this morning and the flame is flickering, Lord, would You reignite that flame? Would You bring life as You never have before and bring Your heart into their life? Father, I pray for that fire to be ignited in each one of us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.